Okay, welcome everybody. Today we're going to study one mitzvah. Well, there's a thousand mitzvahs one could study, and one could look at it in a broad-based perspective. But there's one particular midah, and one particular mitzvah we're going to focus on today, and that is the mitzvah of Orla. Which means, for the first 3 years, one is prohibited from enjoying their new fruits. Those are not yours. So, the question is, why? And we're going to discuss really three possibilities today. One of them being that of the Rambam, the Ramban, and then Rabbi Simon develops a third possibility. Rabbi Simon, I think, does a beautiful job in his Sefer, the Imrei Baruch. So, the Rambam, as a Kedargo B'Kodesh, has a very unusual answer, you know, similar to his answer we spoke about a number of weeks ago by Korbanos, where the Rambam was talking about what the nations of the world did. So the Rambam says people used to plant their seeds in the ground and for their trees, and then they used to resort to sorcery to make their trees go fast and to do all kinds of funny things. So therefore the Rambam says, delay of game, offsides, you got to wait 3 years. So now what happens? Since you got to wait 3 years anyway, So then might as well not use the sorcery. So the Rambam is this esoteric, you know, reason. Similar to Kabbalah, that people would think it's Avodah Zarah, so we shtach the Avodah Zarah, again, based on the person's philosophy towards life. So this way we avoid the sorcery and let the trees grow at the pace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deems. That's reason number one. The Ramban Ala Torah gives a different reason, where the Ramban Ala Torah explains that the reason for Orla is the following, is we want you to dedicate your first fruits towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu, but we also want you to dedicate your best fruits towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now, I don't know this, because I am not a botanist, and I don't know anything about agriculture, and every time we talk about farming stuff, I always get intimidated, because it could be something that I know, there's probably nothing that I know less about. That, and whatever you talk about, like sowing, and like whoop and wharfs, you know, whatever you get to a gemara, whoop and wharf, I immediately like get like a pachet in my head, like I get scared of whoop and wharf, and I've gone and I've seen and I've looked at looms, and I still don't understand what they're talking about when I talk about bat shnei batenir and b'hilchos Shabbos. Okay, but also when it comes to agriculture. So apparently, your best fruits are going to be not your initial fruits, but we want you to dedicate your initial fruits, and therefore, you know, to sanctify them, that to revive later on, and therefore, the first 3 years, we take those are usher, and then you start with the best when the time comes. As I zok the Rambam. Rabbi Simon, in his beautiful Sefer, the Imrei Baruch, explains a very different reason. He gives you explains that Orla is trying to teach us a very important midah, especially in this day and age. I'll explain what I mean in a moment. It says in the Medrash that for 3 years, you have to be in Orl, right? So he says, compares it to the following. There's an Isser of Orla. You can't eat it. What is written after that? Loisoichel al adam. You can't eat it on the dam, by blood. What is the blood referencing to? So the Medrash says two things is the comparison to Orla. One is, chas v'shalom, having relations with one's wife prior to her finishing her nida status. Loisoichel al adam. You can't eat on the blood. And the second thing is, eating an animal prior to letting the blood drain from the animal. So there's a medrash that compares the two. What's the isser in both of those items? The isser is, which is going to be the comparison to Orla, that all three of them eventually will be permitted. Ella what? You have to wait a couple of minutes, wait a couple of days, wait a couple of years, not years, wait a couple of weeks, not even, for that which is usser at this very moment to become permissible. But what happens? You don't have the patience to wait for the right time. The famous Gemara, right? Ha-boyel arusoso, one who has relations with a woman who he's engaged to prior to waiting for her to get married, is k'boyel arusoso. I'm sorry, ha-oichel matzah, one who eats matzah, and erev Pesach is k'boyel arusoso bebeis chamav. It's as if one has relations with their engaged party prior to getting married. Meaning, you jumped the gun, you ate the matzah right before Pesach, you couldn't wait. You ate the food, you couldn't wait for it to be cooked. You couldn't wait. You lacked a certain midah here of patience. Orla is teaching you that even that which is right there in front of you, and the fruit looks delicious and edible, and it's exciting, and it's new, and it's the fruit of your labors, literally. Afal pikein, one still has to have a delay of gain. One must still wait and be patient to write for the right time, to wait for the right time. Can't tell you how important it is this day and age. We're sitting here right now. I'm giving this and I'm watching Twitter. And I'm watching minute by minute or second by second the update of what's going on in Boston as whether or not they're going to catch the second person. And it's not enough. You can't listen anymore to the news. I'm just as guilty as everybody else. Why can't we listen to the news? Because the news is 15 minutes behind. So social media is giving us second by second update as to what's going on in Boston. But the patience, the concept of sitting and waiting and sifting something out is a lost art. And this is what the mitzvah of Orla is trying to teach us. And it could be that this is what the original sin was. It's a wild Or HaChaim on this week's parasha. The pasuk says, Leisochel al adam. You can't eat something on the blood, right? So the Or HaChaim explains that this is an allusion, if you will, to the sin of Adam HaRishon. What was the sin of Adam HaRishon? He ate from the Eitz HaDaas, right? Adam and Chava, they ate from the Eitz HaDaas, Tov V'ra. So what was the problem here? So the Or HaChaim explains that by Shabbos, that eitz would have been permissible. This is the ninth hour of the day. In 3 hours' time, 3 hours, if Adam HaRishon would have waited to make Kiddush on the Eitz HaDaas, he would have been able to get everything. Ella, he couldn't wait those 3 hours that was necessary in order for him to have whatever he wanted. Why couldn't he wait? So the Or HaChaim explains. The Or HaChaim explains that what was the Eitz HaDaas? It gave you the ability. What was the Eitz HaDaas? Toiv v'ra. It was good and bad. Meaning prior to the Eitz HaDaas, and the Nefesh HaChaim explains this in great detail, and Rabbi Friedman always has a nice way of sharpening this, that prior to eating from the Eitz HaDaas, Adam HaRishon had a different kind of free choice. Let's just say it like this, that the Eitz HaHara was not from within, but rather the Eitz HaHara was from without. So, LaMarshall, today, right, I'm on a little bit of a diet. I'm trying my best. So, what's my big vice? Well, not anymore because they don't make them, but ring dings. But I guess my big vice would be Entenmann's donut. So, when I go home today and I'm going to eat my lunch, which I'm allowed to do, right? After lunch, I'm going to see the Entenmann's donut. So, my mind is telling me I want. The Yetzer Hara is pulling me towards that Entenmann's donut. That's the Yetzer Hara we have today because Adam Rishon ate from the Yetzer Das. In the olden days, in the really, really olden days, not like the days before the internet, but like, you know, that's what my kids refer to as the olden days, you know, before the internet, or before email, you know, crazy olden days, like when I was a kid. Anyway, but the olden days, meaning before Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'ra, it wasn't saying, I want to eat the donut, it was like the donut was calling us, you want. It was a different kind of Yetzer Hara. But we didn't have bilis on the Yetzer Hara. We didn't have ownership on it. And because Adam Rishon didn't have ownership, therefore when he made a decision to do good, essentially, it was what? It wasn't his decision. The decision was kind of made for him because he only had a much more muted, a much different kind of Yetzer Hara. So he didn't have bilis. So Adam HaRishon, it's a wild chiddush. This is what the Chassam Sofer says. The Chassam Sofer says that when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'ra, he wasn't doing it because he wanted to violate HaKadosh Baruch Hu or commit an avera. But what he wanted was what? He wanted to have ownership of his decisions. He wanted to have real free choice where there would be equal sides in front of him. Do I eat the fruit or do I eat the donut? But he couldn't wait. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the option. He said, just wait until Shabbos. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want him to wait until Shabbos? Because if he would have waited until Shabbos, then all of our decisions would be much easier because it would have been muted, because it would have been infused with the Kedush of Shabbos. But the Chassam Sofer says Adam HaRishon couldn't wait. He didn't have that patience. He wanted to grab at that thing. He wanted to make his decisions right now. You know, he was like, excuse me, I'm not going to single out my children, but any child, where I'm like, you'll get it when we get to dessert. We're going to get to dessert. We're going to get there. We're going to get... No, I want to... You got to eat your main course, and then if you do that, you get dessert. It's going to happen. You got to be patient. But Adam HaRishon didn't have... That midah was missing at that time. So Orla is a tikkun. Eating from the fruit is now changed. When Adam HaRishon initially ate from the fruit, he couldn't wait. So now, when it comes to Orla, we have to wait. As a tikkun for that original crime, for that original aveira of Adam HaRishon, whose sin was that of not waiting. And that's the Torah of the Chassam Sofer, building off the Or HaChaim. And this is the way Pirkei Avos begins. The first Mishnah says, Havim Mutanim B'din. You should always be patient in din. The simple, the Pashup shot is that you have to be patient You know, when you're, let's say a guy comes to you with a court case, you have to hear both sides, you have to think it out, you have to sit overnight, you have to be patient. But having Musonim Bedin is not just in court. It's not just telling people, it wouldn't be the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's something that you have to be patient. Of all your decisions, don't make a rash decision. Abraham Lincoln taught us this. You know what Abraham Lincoln did? There was once a, you know, this is how I learn. I don't learn when I sit in front of a teacher. So one time, I was sitting and learning in the basement. The basement of our old building. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but on 140 Central Avenue. And I had to be in the building that day, so Rabbi Friedman and I had a chavrusa, so we were learning, and we were learning in the basement. And I was listening to Mr. Wiener, Olav Shalom, who was teaching AP history. And he told over an amazing maisa with Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was not happy with one of his generals, the way he attacked the South. And I don't remember the exact battle. So Abraham Lincoln penned a letter. He wrote a letter, you know, detailing all the errors that the general made. And he took the letter, and he put it in his drawer, and he said, I'll send it tomorrow. And the next morning he woke up, and he realized, you know, maybe he shouldn't say it, it was a scathing letter, he just left, and that letter stayed in the drawer the rest of his life. Did he exhibit patience or what? Meaning, had he been rash, he would have sent the letter immediately, and then there would have been dire consequences, the general would have been upset, whatever it was, who knew? But he understood. Think about it, wait. How often is it that you're upset at somebody for something they do, and a week later you don't remember? So sometimes the moment we yell at them, what do we gain by that? Wait a week. If it's really important, then you have something to talk about. How many things that we're upset about that moment, a week later we don't care about? Who cares? Wait. Patience. It says in the, we say, Ani amarati b'chazi, kol adam kozev. We say, when we say things in haste, everybody winds up being kozev. I can't think of a good translation for kozev, but it's not a good thing. Meaning, when you say something in haste, it doesn't come out properly. You have to go, you have to prepare, you have to put something down. I can't tell you the impulsivity today of our generation. The impulsivity is amazing because of the iPhones and the Facebook, and as I'm watching Twitter and Boston, we're all, you know, connected to our devices 24/7 for whatever reasons, good, bad, say the other thing. But in terms of patience, it becomes difficult. And this is one of the big lessons that Hillel is trying to teach us. Famous story of Shammai and Hillel. What's the famous story of Shammai and Hillel? A ger comes to him, and, notice, and he says, convert me al regel achas. Okay, whatever happened with Shammai and Hillel, let's leave that on. But what is pshat al regel achas? So if you ever try to stand on one foot, so you're doing two things when you're standing on one foot. If you ever try this, right? So I do this once in a while. I have a smart board in my room, and in order to put on the projector, I have to reach to a high place. So I'm reaching to a high place, what do? I get off one foot, and I kind of reach up on tippy toes on one foot. You get higher on tippy toes on one foot than you do on 2 feet. You could do a demonstration if this is a video, but this is audio, right? So you get much higher with one foot than you do with 2 feet. So that's what aregel achas. But what's the other challenge when you're only on one foot? You're off balance. If somebody comes over to your finger and just touches you, you fall over. There's no balance. So, teach me kol haTorah kula aregel achas. I want it all, but I want it right now. I want it in a tweet. I want it in one comment in a Facebook thing. I want it this second. So, the response is, zeal, gemar, go. You know, first he gives him one yesod, about being nice, but this is zeal, come on, go learn. You got to be patient. You got to be patient. You got to go slow, slow. And that's one of the big the tekuvahs we're in. You know, this is the time of Sfiras Omer. Every day is a different day. You know, you look in the Sfira, and everyone, that's a Shabbahot, and this Shabbahot, and that, and this, and the other thing, and there's 30, there's 48 different things. So, very often the frustration in life comes because we don't see growth right away. But if you invest each and every day with patience, then the growth at the end of the period is significant. And then you can see the growth. Probably the biggest impediment to growth is people don't see it. I know, again, back to my diet example, I used to make a mistake. I used to weigh myself every morning. Because I thought, if I see the numbers change, then it'll be great. Ella, what? When you weigh yourself every day, do you ever see the numbers change? You don't see the numbers change. Today you're 180, tomorrow you're 179.5. Who cares? It doesn't really move that much. Only when the totality of the experience, and you finish that, and you look back and you see it, then you can see the growth. I can't tell you how many boys I speak to, they go away for the year, I don't see any growth. I said, compared to September, or compared to yesterday? It's compared to yesterday. I said, you always got to look at the big picture. And when you look at the big picture, then you'll see the growth. And that's the key, is that if you have patience to go through something, to go slow, and to really stick something out, then you could overcome anything. And this is the message of Orla. It's there for 3 years, I can't touch it. But if I'm patient, and at the end of time, I'll be able to have that beautiful tree. And Mirtz Hashem, we should all be like trees that continue to give over fruit. Have a good Shabbos.